absolute power corrupts absolutely.
I want winners.
Winning is not a sometime thing. It's an all the time thing. You don't win once in a while, and you don't do things right once in a while. You do them right all the time. Winning is a habit. You got to play with your heart, with every ounce of fiber in your body. I've never known a man worth his salt who deep down in his heart didn't appreciate the grind, the discipline, and to win, and to win, and to win. It is, and always has been, an American seal, and that is to be first, regardless of what we do. There's no room for second place. There's only one place, and that's first place. I finished second twice in my time, and I don't ever want to finish second again. But I firmly hold that a man's finest hour, the greatest fulfillment to anything he holds dear, is that moment when he has worked his heart out in the good cause and lays exhausted on the field of battle. Victorious.
Again, this is 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on the East Coast. As you know, I am JT, a.k.a. The Master, and this is The Master Plan. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to me. Chat room is also open if you'd like to lay your chat. Some comments or a question in the chat room, you can do so because that's how we roll. And if you didn't listen to the intro and listen to who was talking, happy birthday. Once to start the show off, we're going to talk about a legend and which carries through right to this day in the NFL. Born in 1913. On June 11th, which is about a week ago, a little less than a week ago, I'm talking about Mr. Vincent Lombardi, born in Brooklyn, New York. And for those who've been living in a closed environment or don't know anything about Mr. Lombardi, the Super Bowl trophy is named after him. Now, what more can I say about that? Because the fact is, he's revered, and what his philosophy and the things he's done throughout the years, up until his death in 1970, still holds true today. And just ask the people that live in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And I have my guest, I guess a guest, whatever you want to call him. He comes in here and bugs me, but that's okay because I welcome the conversation. Let me bring in my esteemed colleague, Mr. Founder of FSP, the one and only Mr. VG, Victor Gardner. What's up, my man?
What's going on, JT ATM, my man? Happy Father's Day to you and to all.
Same to you, my man.
There.
Same to you, and for all those listeners that have been listening. Thank you for your support. Thank you for catching us also in the archives. If you don't listen to us live, we definitely appreciate all the support that you give us.
Oh, most assuredly. We got five shows. Jerry might get to a couple of those commercials today. But,
absolutely.
I just want to thank everybody for supporting us because without you guys, we wouldn't really be doing this all the time. I really have a great, great group of folks that I work with here. And it's not really work. It's more like socializing them can turn into something great for us. So we appreciate you all for listening.
And if for those who don't know about our shows and maybe listening for the first time, or even if you're catching us later on in the archives, let's listen to this and I'll come right back.
If you're looking to whet your appetite for engaging and informative talk radio, the lineup at the Fantasy Sports and Politics Network has exactly what you need. Shows like The Master Plan with Jerry the Master Taylor, Time Out with women's basketball legend Sylvia Crawley, Compassion Dakini, hosted by Kim Fung, No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor, the FSP Crew Show with co-hosts Jerry Black and the Joker, and the Fantasy Sports and Politics Show, all focus on the hot topics in sports, politics, and in life. By visiting fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com, you'll gain great insight into each program and host, access to the show's archive, as well as outstanding articles, photos, and a whole lot more. As well, because of its large and steadily growing following, fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com is a great place to advertise. Stop by today at fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com. Information, motivation, variety.
And for those who don't know what the times is, quite naturally, you listen to the Master Plan, which is 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on a Sunday. Sylvia Crawley, Time Out, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Monday night. FSP Crew Show, which I host along with my two co-hosts, Jeff the Joker and Black the Bookie, at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Thursday. Mac, No Chaser, is the host of that, Mac Williams. I am the co-host of that. That's 7 p.m. on Friday evening, Eastern Standard Time. And Mr. FSP, who's on the phone right now, and Vic Gardner, who hosts that show. I also co-host that show. That happens to be on 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You go on the website, you can catch all that, and hopefully you'll be listening or listening to the archives or listening live or even calling in and participate in the conversation. We appreciate any and all who come into our grips or whatever we want to. Excuse me?
Our debates, because if they catch one of those shows other than Sylvia's show, it's going to be fireworks, as evident of yesterday.
Why? That because
the fighting family and, you know, just straight ghettoisms. But I'll say this.
Go ahead.
I'll say this, that, you know, we're trying to get sponsors, and that was a good Skip Bayless, Stephen A. moment between myself and my cousin, and you played the perfect role of the woman that host first take. You know, you were quiet and chimed in a little bit, so you knew your role. You let us both go at it and stayed out of it a little bit. And then when I let you get to it, you said, oh, "Let's move on." So you know, I don't know
hey,
why
man,
my cousin and I argue.
Hey, why do you think, Victor? Why do you think every time he calls in, either he's on a program and you call in, or you're on a program and he calls in, vice versa, whatever the case may be? Why do you think lately I've been saying, okay, you guys, be a little civil, or here we go, because I know what the fireworks, and it won't take long for the fireworks to start sparking between you and your relative. So
I don't know. I mean, controversy sells. Controversy
sure.
sells, which is a good mm-hmm. thing. But you know, geez, my Christmas. You know, I would like to have a conversation where we can at least. I mean, we were agreeing. We just disagreed on one point. And I was right, as usual. And you always
No, here we go. Here we go.
You always take his side. You always take his side, old man.
No, I don't always take his side. Don't say that. That sounds like, you know, yes, exactly. let's just, on this show, let's bring it out again that the conversation we had yesterday on the FSP show with Victor, who's the host of the show, myself, who's the co-host of the show, and Victor's cousin, Mikal, who jumped in and normally calls quite a bit on Saturday, which is, you know, which is fine.
Yeah, of course.
We had a, I wouldn't say a heated debate, but we had a pretty frisky debate on who we felt was the best player on the planet and why. Now, Mr. Gardner, Vic, was a little flawed in his thinking, but it is what it is.
That's the problem yesterday. It is my opinion. You can't be flawed if it is my opinion.
Because
it is not fact. It is not fact.
Well, I understand what you were saying, Victor. I still disagree with you, and I have my opinion, and I'm not going to hold it against you that you think one way versus what I think and what McCown thinks. But we'll have to get into it again. I'm sorry. I still think talent-wise, right now, in the NBA, talent-wise, there's only one player on the planet who's got the best talent in the league, and that's LeBron James. Without a doubt, he's got more talent.
That wasn't the topic, though. The topic wasn't that. The topic was who is the best player in the NBA right now. Talent-wise, yes, I can agree. But talent is just like potential. It means nothing if you don't fulfill it all the way.
Well, he has to fulfill
it. That was my point.
I understand, but just think about this now. Okay, now if you fall back on the thing that Kobe has more rings, okay, look at the people that Kobe had around him to get those rings compared to what LeBron has. Okay, he's only had two real good teams. I mean, he took one team. He took one team, basically, to the championship before he got his last one last year. But before that, I mean, when he first got to Miami, he had the top three, and true, they lost to Dallas. And I just think that it was Dallas's year that year, and they hadn't really found their roles that year. And there was a lot of criticism on LeBron, okay, which was warranted. But every player, including Michael, when he scored his 63 in the playoff game against the Celtics, has to go through a maturation process and have the talent around him besides himself to be able to get to the point where he wins a championship, at least one. LeBron has done that, okay? There's a lot of haters out there, including Mac, and I'm waiting for Mac because, you know, he's been hating on LeBron. And to a ridiculous amount of hate and displeasure, supposedly, with the NBA and the refs on giving the Miami Heat every break, and it's really gotten to me ad nauseum. So I can't wait till I am able to talk to No Chaser on Friday. So for those who don't watch listen to No Chaser, I suggest you listen to No Chaser this Friday because I'm going at Mac full force because I don't know if you see his rants about LeBron on Facebook, but he's gotten ridiculous in some of the things he said about LeBron and the Miami Heat. I mean, I understand he's not a fan of him. I understand that he's not a fan of the Miami Heat, but you got to give credit where credit is due. You can't be totally biased and blind to what's in front of you. And regardless of what it is, regardless of your displeasure of it, you got to be able to realize talent, realize that the guy is one the best player on the planet. Here we go. Victor,
well,
wait a minute. Okay. I'm going to sit back. I'm going to give you all the time you need to justify you telling me that Kobe Bryant is the best player on the planet. Your time is starting. Go ahead.
Listen to yesterday's show. You'll find out. That's all I need.
No. You can't get away like that. No way you're going to get away like that. Come on, Victor.
I can't get away with it. All I got to do is listen to yesterday's program, which is Fast Sports and Politics. What was yesterday, the 15th, the 14th? Listen to that program.
Yesterday was the 15th. Yes, yesterday was the 15th.
Yeah. Listen to the 15th program, and that'll explain why I feel as though he is the best player on the planet, because he has a complete package. That's all that needs to be said. Now, I don't want to take too much of your time, because I know you probably already have something set up for the show. But
No.
I think that, okay. Well, I mean, I just think that there are times that you can't predict what LeBron is going to do as far as what he's going to give you on the court. You know, just like Bosh and well, I hate to say it, Wade has fallen into that category as well, because you can't predict if he's going to give you 100% all the time. You know, he's one of those fair-weather fan type people. Oh, when it's all good, my chest is sticking out, I'm the head of the franchise. When times are bad, okay, I'm going to speak because I got to speak. And, you know, well, on a court, I don't got to do nothing because we're getting blown out by 35 points. So I'm going to sit on the bench and I'm going to be quiet. You know, I'm not going to play the whole game. And I'm not going to play as hard. You know, that type of attitude doesn't work for me. But, again, like Mike and you said yesterday, it's a maturation process that LeBron has to go through. And I agree. But until he can consistently show that he's that tough and that he has the ability to lead a team through good and bad, you know, on the court, not just in practice or whatever, but on the court, don't take yourself out the game or don't, you know, get pulled out the game because it's a big blowout, then I'm going to feel that way about him. You know, he is talent-wise, probably the best player in the NBA right now, talent-wise. But we talk about, not Kevin Durant. Yeah, Kevin Durant and Westbrook in Oklahoma City. Durant has the ability to be the best player in the planet, but he needs Brian Westbrook right now because he doesn't have that killer instinct. He just doesn't have it fully. He has it, but it's just not fully there. You know, he's more consistent than LeBron is. So, we'll see what happens.
Wait,
I don't want to talk about too much.
Wait a minute. You can't get away and not say that last comment that you think that Kevin Durant's more consistent than LeBron. LeBron's won four MVPs, if I'm not mistaken. LeBron, and I know that the argument there is that it's a popularity contest because the NBA pushes LeBron as the face of the NBA. That he's going to get a favoritism toward getting the MVP. I've heard that argument before. Like I said, I'm not a LeBron fan, but he's the best player on the planet, and it's not close. Now, does he have the complete package? You don't have to have the complete package to be the best player on the planet. Now, no player has a complete package. Every player, regardless of what level they're playing at in the NBA, is working on their game. Every player, including Kobe. Kobe had to come a long way to get his first championship, and so did LeBron. Both of them are still working on their game. Both of them until the day they retire, just like every other player in every other professional sport, or even amateur sport, works on their game until they're finished with the game. Plain and simple. So your argument is saying that he's not a complete player. No player is a complete, exactly a complete, perfect player. They strive to be perfect. And I'm going to paraphrase Vince Lombardi. And they strive to be perfect and expect excellence. Let me put it that way, to somewhat say what Lombardi said. They strive for perfection and settle for excellence or something like that. So,
well,
I understand
also,
what you're saying, but LeBron James, if he's the best talented player on the planet in the NBA, then he's the best player in the NBA, because every player is working on something that they have a weakness. No one player. They're not machines. They're not robots. They're not made perfect. They're human beings, and every one of them are trying to perfect their game and strengthen their weaknesses. So I understand what you're saying about Kobe, and you think because Kobe has that killer instinct more than LeBron does, that makes him a much better player? No, because even though LeBron may not have the type of killer instinct that Kobe has, LeBron's talent right now overshadows and makes up for that killer instinct. Sometimes it doesn't, but for the most part, it does. So even though he doesn't have what Kobe has killer instinct-wise, he still has the most talent, the best player, being the best player on the planet. I don't know how better I can explain it to you.
Well, Mr. Taylor.
Yes, sir.
I really like what you said, and I understand what you said in your senility. But Vince Lombardi also said he needed to take back that one quote because he made it seem as though winning was the only thing, and that wasn't his purpose. But my viewpoint isn't going to change based upon what you just said, what you said is cool. It's fine. But I think more so than not, you have to think about what people have completely done. I'll give you an example, a good example. Let's talk about the NFL Top 100 real quick. Larry Fitzgerald specifically have the worst season of his NFL career, short of when he was a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
He had four touchdowns, like 700 and something yards. That's like the below average or just average NFL player.
Mm-hmm.
But he was ranked number 22 or 23 best player in the NFL.
Sure.
His circumstances, people saw his circumstances and like, oh, man, but Larry Fitzgerald is way better than this because Larry Fitzgerald, he proved over time that he's the best or one of the best players at his position or in the NFL. So even though I disagree with his ranking for last year, his peers said, okay, you know what? Yeah, you're one of the best. Matter of fact, if everything plays out the way I think it is, he's going to be one of the top three receivers in the NFL with Calvin Johnson and Reggie Wayne, then Larry Fitzgerald being those three. So I equate that to say this. Kobe Bryant would be Larry Fitzgerald in this situation. And, you know, Calvin Johnson is proving year after year that he can be that guy and be the top dog in the NFL at receiver. LeBron has done it a couple years, but he still lacks that killer instinct, even though he's been in the league for 8 years. 8 years now. I think it took Jordan, five or six or something like that,
mm-hmm.
to finally get over the hump once they put him with the pieces he needed to win a championship. And then that killer instinct along with his ability to distribute the ball and, as my cousin would say, facilitate the game, you know, Michael put it together then. I'm not saying LeBron is slow. I'm not saying that at all. But 8 years in the league and you still don't have that killer instinct to be recognized by everybody, not just pass and pass, but by everybody as the most dominant player in the NBA, there's something missing there. Because a lot of people still think, like I think, that Kobe is number one until Kobe retires. Because he has the full package. He developed it, yes. He developed it, but that's the bottom line.
Let me enlighten you on this then. Kobe Bryant won his championship. I forget the first one he won, but regardless of when he won it, he had the pieces around him to do it. And it's when you get the pieces around earlier in your career than maybe LeBron or whatever, your development process is going to be accelerated. When you don't get the pieces around you, when you're the only person. Now, LeBron's been with the Heat. This is the third season. Before that, he's with for the first 5 years, he was with the Cleveland Cavaliers. One team, and it really was a hodgepodge of teams, I mean, a hodgepodge of players. I mean, they were decent players, but they weren't the caliber of the players that he has now with the Miami Heat. And quite naturally, just like Jordan, just like Kobe Bryant, the caliber of players they had around them to help take him to multiple championships. Now, LeBron, this is third year with this group. This is the third year these guys have been to the championship. They're in the throes of trying to win a back-to-back championship. All three of the times that they've been together, they've gone to the finals. Okay? What I'm saying is this. Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, the flaws that they had in their game, being able to facilitate and include others in the game rather than them taking all the shots and dominating on the offensive end of the ball, accelerated their growth in their player being a player when they had the pieces around them to support them. So when you say LeBron is slow, he's not slow. He's just had the pieces since 3 years ago to support the type of play that he wants to be able to do, be able to have the opportunity to expand his game. See, when you're only the only one person and the offense, for the most part, runs through you, and you are the person that everybody relies on, and the other pieces are very weak pieces, that stunts your growth because the fact is you have to concentrate on doing one particular thing for the most part. When you have other pieces like Chris Bosh, like Dwayne Wade, you can expand your game because you don't have to carry all the weight. So when you say Kobe Bryant had a supporting cast that helped him expand his game. Michael Jordan had a supporting cast that helped him expand his game. So, and LeBron just had it this is his third season. And Kobe Bryant had it over for a period of years, more than three. Michael Jordan definitely had it for more than 3 years. So, I'm not a LeBron fan. I'm not definitely not a LeBron fan. But you got to give the man his due. You got to give the man respect because the fact is, when the pieces are in place, you can see his game is better. Now, every player, Kobe, Michael, have bad games. Don't have real good games, outstanding games. Get criticized for them one way or the other. But overall, for the most part, his overall game has expanded because he's had the pieces to be able to have his game expand with. So I understand what you're saying, but you got to look at all the circumstances, not just the one player. You got to look at all the people that are around him, and it helps when you have a prime-time player like Kobe, like Michael, like LeBron, that have pieces around him that he doesn't feel like he has to carry all the weight. I mean, he's still the man, but he has reliable pieces for the most part and a good, great supporting cast, so to speak, to be able to facilitate and help him expand his game. Because once you get tunneled in like a Pete Maravich and like these other shooters that really were the only team, will only get game in town on their team, Their game is narrowed. Their game is narrowed on the court. They have to worry about scoring, because my other teammates I can't rely on. They're too inconsistent. I don't have the pieces around me to do anything other than what I know best is at the score. I can't facilitate for the most part because I can't rely on my teammates because I got a bunch of, I wouldn't say shrubs, but I have a bunch of players that really aren't up or even close to my level. Michael, Kobe, and now LeBron did.
I'll say this, because I know we got to get ready. Well, I got to get ready for church. But you, my son, I understand what you're saying. I feel you. You had a cathartic moment there, and I understand you're on the couch. But I would say this. LeBron needs to grow up, pretty much. That's all I'm saying. And once he does that and Kobe retires, he'll be the best player on the planet. I want to get into some fantasy baseball and football before I got to go, if you
sure.
don't mind.
No problem. What you'd like to get there first?
Fantasy baseball real quick because, it's a very close game. It's 10-12 in my matchup, and I have a couple pitchers going today. And even though I have a mash unit, as you put it, just imagine if all my weapons were well. I would be killing this player, postponed Chicago Cubbies, or whatever it's going to be, and the rest of the league. But I'm making do with what I have, scouring the waiver wires, took the blue guy, Mr. Blanks, who's actually a very good hitter, plays left field and first base.
Who would you like for
Jason
him?
Marquis. We can discuss that. Maybe not right now because we're ready for church.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that I have some weapons that I can trade off to get what I need. And I want Alan Craig, just to let you know. So keep it in the team. Keep it on the team. You know, San Diego's got a good team there. But I want to wish you good luck in your matchup versus Andrew. You guys had a good conversation yesterday. And it is
I'm winning
a close
this.
Game.
I'm winning this.
Okay.
I'm winning this. I'm winning this. I'm winning it. I looked at all the categories, and a few categories are close. I just added a pitcher this morning that hopefully I can catch up in the – I think I'm trying to catch up in the strikeouts for one. He's got a pretty surmountable lead. He's got two pitchers going today. I got four, and two of those pitchers are facing each other, but I still have four pitchers going up. So and that's how I planned. That's why I didn't say too much yesterday because the fact is he said he had two pitchers going up and he likes his pitching. Well, let me put it this way. And I always keep track of my opponent's pitching. His Mr. Kershaw, he had two matchups, both of them no decision. His Mr. Griffin pitched yesterday, had a loss. He's had all his pitchers either a no decision or a loss. So even though he had Verlander, Corbin, Hamill, and Kershaw, none of those pitchers have afforded him one win. Now, it would be impressive, and I got to admit, he's staying close with those pitchers not even giving him one win. Because in the pitching category, he's got me in the ERA and just barely in the whip. And I may suffer because I got four pitchers today in the whip part of it, and maybe even in the ERA, depending on how his pitchers fare to mine. And it's odd because last year my strength was my pitching. This year my weakness, for the most part, I've been struggling for the most part, week out with my pitching. I'm just getting Cueto back. He's coming back and pitching today. That'll help. Hopefully I'll have a Buckholz coming back soon because he's hurt and he may go on the disabled list. But once my pitching comes back, my hitting, all my players are back, Hanley and Giancarlo, and he's been thumping it. The league's in trouble. The league is in trouble. Once my pitching gets straight, and I understand what you have, and I do fear your team because your team has some good players on it. They just haven't been playing up to their potential. I'm really, and I hate to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway, really hesitant to give you any more pitching because compared to your pitching and your hitting, you would have a formidable team if all of them were healthy. So But you're too far down to even think about making the playoffs.
For real? You gonna roll like that,
Jerry? I'm sorry. You have to. Let me put it this way. In my opinion, you would have to make a monumental surge.
Like you did.
Well, I'm in a little better position. I'm a little better position for you, Victor. I'm telling you. I keep telling you. And I say this with affection. I say this with affection, Victor. Victor.
Go ahead, give me the backhand right now.
But you suck in baseball.
Yeah, I knew the backhand was coming.
I always believe in mom, my own method.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Your mom has helped you a lot. Mom has given you all the information.
My own method.
Everything.
That's mom. My own method.
We're talking about mom, your real mom, because that's the one that gave you all the information.
No,
that's the one.
No. You really believe that, huh? You really think that? The mom I'm using is my own method, and you think it's my mother.
It's your real
Let me put
mama.
It this way: my mother helped me like baseball because she was a Brooklyn Dodgers fan, and I think I told you the story before. And then when the Brooklyn Dodgers left and the Mets came about with the same colors, she became a Mets fan. And I followed in her footsteps, become a Mets fan, and followed the Mets from when they first started until now. So, having me into your fantasy baseball league last year renewed my passion. I'm gonna tell you, renewed my passion for watching baseball. Trust me, I didn't watch baseball quite a bit, but I appreciate you because. Because I realize how much I miss baseball and like watching it. So
you're welcome. But anyway, I think that it's time to get a beat down from Mr. FSP. So I'm gonna get off this phone before I explode all over you, and let you know you need to recruit for the for football because I'm still kicking everybody's butt. I'm still taking everybody's name. Why? Because I am the champion. You and everyone else are my squires.
You see what I'm talking about. When you're the champion, you can talk. Until you get knocked off the perch, you can talk. That was my whole premise. I mean, Andrew says that it was fine that you can't rely on pass. Why you keep talking about the champion? So knock me off. I'm still the champion, and I'm talking. I talked last year, all through last year. Got a little bit of animosity from a few of my members, but that's okay.
Me, I'm one of them.
And Halifax Hurlers. I don't know who he is, but he don't like me either. So that's okay. And because of my talking and because of my supposedly wacky trade offers and trades that we're doing, I guess some of the past members this year had enough of it and decided to veto a few of them, but which is fine. I still think I can do it without them because I'm hurting in one category and I'm trying to find out where I can acquire somebody from that category. Because I'm hurting real bad in that category, and it's hurting me a lot. So I have to see what I can do about it. Anyway.
Do nothing,
is that what you tell me?
You can do nothing. But get some people to join the Fantasy Baseball League, the Fantasy Football League on ESPN and Yahoo, because you need a little help there if you plan to take me out. We expanded to 16 teams,
16.
But I'll gladly click 12. I'll gladly take 12, I want to make this more competitive for me because it was just a pocket pile. That's why I whooped you and whooped everybody else. And then, You know, I barely lost in ESPN, Wolverines in the House. It was an error on my part sitting the player, but I lost. But I've won 3 championships this past year, and I'm good. So, with that being said, JTATN Money, I got to let you go. So
I appreciate you stopping by for a short time. Enjoy your Father's Day. Enjoy the blessings of the Lord also. And I guess I'll have to catch you when I catch you.
That's right, Sniper 6. You gotta fix that Zoom, Sniper. Fix that Zoom, muscles.
You like that one, huh?
Well, the church loved it, and I liked it. So, you know, you must love the church. You must love the church. All right, guys.
Take care. Enjoy your day.
All right, happy Father's Day, old man. Bye.
Same to you, my man. We'll be right back after this.
You all know and love her from the WNBA, but now you can hear her every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. It's Time Out with Sylvia Crawley.
This is Time Out with Sylvia Crawley. I'm your host. I have a very interesting show lined up for you tonight. We have Mr. Otis Winston. Otis, thank you so much for being on the show.
You know it's my pleasure, Sil.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. Time Out with Sylvia Crawley. Information, motivation, variety. For a roundup of the week's events, interviews, and a whole lot more, tune in every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern for the FSP Cruise Show, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Here's a sample.
We have Mr. Stephen A. Smith. Hello, Stephen A. I'm glad to. Well, this is Jerry, your host, along with my co-host Black and Jeff on here. Glad to.
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
What's going on, Stephen?
Good. Thanks for joining us.
Not a problem.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The FSP Crew Show. Information, motivation, variety.
All right, you heard about the Time Out show. Very informative, very, very good show. The newest of our shows, and Sylvia Crawley Milbury is the host of that show. And tune into that show. 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is a great, great show with great, great guests. And then we have the FSP Cruise show. You never know who's going to stop by there. You heard about Stephen A. We have boxers. We have baseball players. We've had almost every sport stop by, and maybe not every celebrity. You can't say that, but we've had some celebrities on there. Stop by, listen, you know, catch us in the archives. We have some very interesting shows and very stimulating conversational type of shows, and I think you would enjoy it once you listen to it. I mean, we have sports talk, fantasy sports. I talk about fantasy when fantasy baseball or fantasy football. Really, my thing is fantasy baseball, but I do talk about fantasy basketball and baseball. But fantasy football is my passion, and I really, really love fantasy football. I've been playing it for a number of years, and I think you would like the things I have to say. Some of them are controversial. Some of them are not the on the bandwagon type of things. You know, you get on these programs and different online programs that stream live, or even on a network TV. And you're hearing basically, for the most part, you're hearing the same things, talking about the same players, talking about the same things about the players. I have to say, and I'm not tooting my own horn, but I'm just letting you know, I have to say that I don't ride that boat. I don't jump on that train and ride that train. I'm a little offbeat, a little off-center, and little different. just and different in my thinking. Tune in, and you'll see that listen to what I'm talking about. And that for the most part is going to happen probably start next month, month of July is when I really start gearing up for fantasy football. I may throw in a program here and there about it, but for the most part, I start really gearing up. Like the first weekend in July is when I think I'm going to start. Victor and I are going to start talking about each division in the NFL. The NFC South is going to be starting first. We're going to be starting in the NFC, and NFC South is the very first division that we're going to start in. And we're going to go through each of the divisions and give you our predictions on what their record may be, and some of the fantasy relevance of players on each team. On Sunday, I'm going to break it down by position, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, and I may even delve into IDPs, meaning individual defensive positions, and also I won't go into the special teams of kickers. Kickers, you can get them a dime a dozen. For the most part, it's going to be quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, and individual defensive positions for those fantasy football players that play in those type of leagues. Standard, PPR. PPR happens to be my favorite, which is points per reception. Standard is just a regular fantasy league with no custom. It's just a standard league with standard settings. You customize it. A lot of leagues I'm in are PPR, points per reception. And I'm not going to go into it now, but that's just a brief synopsis of what it's going to take place in the coming weeks. Hopefully, you get your pen and piece of paper down. You keep notes up until the your draft. Think about it. That's all I can do is tell you to think about it. I'm glad you're listening. And I got one more promo to give you before we start talking again.
If you want to add a little spice to your talk radio, try No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Arguably, No Chaser is the most, shall we say, controversial show in the lineup. Let me give you a couple of direct quotes. If LeBron took a shit in the middle of the street in broad daylight, his Boy Scouts would say it's the greatest one ever. Here's another. Y'all dumb donkeys keep believing what Obama says. Just watch. This country is going to get worse, and I'm just going to sit back and say, I told you so. I can only assume this is why the show is called No Chaser. You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. It's No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor. Information, motivation, variety.
Welcome back to the Master Plan. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be. Hit that dial and you want to talk to me. Anyway, let's get back to this. Now, we had talked in length, in nauseam, about the best player on the planet, but we're going to talk about some NBA also, which is some crazy, which is, I would say crazy, but it's eye-opening. For those who don't know, one of the teams in the NBA, and there's a lot of them that are still looking for a head coach. I'm talking about the team on the left coast. The other L.A. team, called the Clippers, is in talks with the Boston Celtics, and they have opened serious discussions on multiple transactions that would potentially could add up to a huge trade that ultimately lands Kevin Garnett, one of the star players on the Celtics, and Paul Pierce and Doc Rivers in L.A. Now, I want to read this from ESPN. Sources told ESPN the Clippers are concurrently weighing the prospect of offering star forward Blake Griffin in tandem with prize young guard Eric Bledsoe to the Los Angeles Lakers to a sign and trade pitch to land Dwight Howard after July 1st. The initial talks with Boston sources said Saturday are focused on the Clippers satisfying Boston's compensation demands to let Rivers out of his lucrative contract and corresponding trade proposals aimed at bringing Garnett to town with Rivers. The article also goes on to say the Clippers sources said are willing to surrender cash and multiple draft picks to secure Rivers services and offer young center DeAndre Jordan as a primary piece in a deal in exchange for Garnett. But, sources said Saturday, the Clippers at present are refusing to include the highly coveted Bledsoe with Jordan in the same trade in hopes of keeping Bledsoe for a separate transaction. Sources also go in to say that the Clippers want to keep open the option that they could package Bledsoe with Griffin in a sign-and-trade offer for Howard after the Lakers center becomes a free agent on July 1st. ESPN Magazine's Chris Broussard reported Friday that Howard and Clippers star Chris Paul have been in consistent contact in recent weeks in hopes of landing on the same team via free agency. The Clippers, furthermore, also have made Bledsoe their centerpiece of recent trade discussions with the Atlanta Magic, aimed at acquiring swingman Aaron Aufalo. Now, it also remains possible, sources said, that either the Celtics or the Clippers could elect to walk away from the talks next week if the deals for Rivers and Garnett can't be struck with LA, then expect to hire one of the three finalists for the coaching job. The Clippers interview Byron Scott, and Lionel Hollins this week, with Lionel Hollins emerging as the front runner. Now, Celtics are asking for a lot of compensation for Rivers, which the Clippers, who are known for not being the most smartest franchises in the NBA, to take a step back and pause. They quite naturally, they don't want to mortgage the farm to land Rivers because they feel strongly. They feel so much love about Hollins, and they won't have to give up the farm to get Rivers because Hollins is basically a free agent. He doesn't have a job, and he's looking for a job, and they wouldn't have a strong compensation. And the indication was that he was brought back on Friday for a second straight day of interviews with the team official. So Boston and Danny Ainge better tread lightly here, because the fact is, if you push too much, if you think that you can gain players, because you got an old team there, Celtics, and there's a strong shot that Doc Rivers walks away and maybe takes a year off or whatever, but doesn't want any parts of what he's going to find in a rebuilding process in Boston, especially if Doc Rivers is in there. Or Paul Pierce walks away or is optioned out, or Kevin Garnett decides I've had enough and walks away. So Doc Rivers is saying, you know what, if that's the case, let me try to go somewhere else where I have a decent team, a decent shot to get to the playoffs, and a decent shot to go a little further in the playoffs than I did with Boston with an aging team with no Rajon Rondo. Rajon Rondo will be coming back off of an ACL, depending on his healing process and depending on his rehab, determines how well he comes back from that and how well he plays. Well, if he doesn't have Kevin Garnett, if he doesn't have Paul Pierce, they're the Boston's big three. then you're in rebuilding mode. Then you have to start using young players. Then you don't want to bring in some old, aging players and basically have to really start all over again. Doc Rivers doesn't want to go through that. So Danny Ainge, he's got to find a happy medium where he can satisfy his organization and get enough pieces and compensation back for Doc Rivers and Kevin Garnett, and not push it to the point, that the Los Angeles Clippers just walk away and say, look, we don't have to deal with this. We'll just hire Lionel Hollins and be done with it. Think about that, Danny Ainge. Doc Rivers also said it may be time for a change. He's been there 9 seasons, and you have to wait and see. I mean, maybe he's being just. Besides knowing that he may have a lot less talented team without those two big pieces, meaning Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce, he didn't want to go through that. So he wants to go someplace where he's got a shot, and he's got 3 years. And $21 million left on his contract. That's a lot to walk away with unless he can get equal compensation from someone else. But we'll wait and see. I do believe, you know, the NBA draft is next week. This is, what, the 16th in 10 days? I think it's in 10 days, give or take, or a week from now. Well, no, it's in 10 days. I think it's the 26th of June, if I'm not mistaken. And we'll see what the developments are in the next week to 10 days leading up to the draft. With that being said, I appreciate everyone listening. I really appreciate you listening, and I want to wish all the fathers out there an extremely happy, healthy, and joyous Father's Day. Fathers are to be appreciated today. This is your day, my man. Chill out, barbecue, do what you want to do, my friend. It's your day. Hopefully, you have someone to share it with. Hopefully, your kids appreciate how much sacrifice and things you've done for them, and hopefully your other half appreciates the things that you have done and sacrificed also. That being said, life is a sphere. What goes around comes around. Be careful how you treat people. Today may be for you, but always remember tomorrow is for someone else. Just how God pulls you up, he can pull you down. You never know who you will need in the future. So be careful how you treat people. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. With that being said, peace and blessings to all. Enjoy the rest of your fabulous weekend wherever you are. And I'm out of here.
Give them the message, give them a red alert. Tell them I need them, tell them it's time to work. Tell them I'm home, thinking of my prophets. Going out in the world to teach knowledge to the brothers and sisters that don't know about the mother, about the right way.